Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2-Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, Snacky Tunes.
Hello and welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm your host, Darren Bresnitz. We were so excited to have our very first Snacky Tunes Salon, a live event hosted at Chow Now in Culver City, Los Angeles. We sat down with our good friends, Tommy Brockert of Lasordids and Travis Hayden of Voodoo Vin, to talk about community and creativity and pivots in their career to cooking. Thanks to everyone who came out. Thank you again to Chow Now for our gracious hosting. Skyduster Beer, Jumbo Time Wine, Aaron, Alice, Becca PR, everyone who helped put it together, and to Luther Himes, who we got to partner with again to design all of the artwork, and we're looking to bring in you more in the near future. So I want to share with you the live panel from the event with Travis, Tommy, and I, and here we go. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy Snacky Tunes Salon live from Chow Now headquarters here on Heritage Radio Network. Thank you, guys. Welcome to Snacky Tunes Salon. Big thank you to Chow Now and Chris for being our host, Jumbo Time Wine, Skyduster Beer for providing the drink, Aaron, Kate, Miranda, Alice, Liz, Jackie, Becca PR, everyone who helped put this together. So thank you. And thank you for all coming out on a Monday night. Really appreciate it. And we promise to keep you updated on the Lakers score as the game goes on. And if you're a Warriors fan, there's some seats outside that you can absolutely get. I want to introduce two of my really good friends who provided the food tonight, and it's been absolutely amazing to see their rise in the food world and what they've built over the last few years. The pizza you were enjoying, chef owner Tommy Brockett from Lasordids Pizzas, started on his porch. Now he's here. He's got the yellow truck you've seen around town. He's really embraced everything Dodgers. And welcome to the salon. And then right here to my left, with the best hair in the chef game, and I'd love for you to, I mean, Tommy, come on, let's be real.
It's under a hat.
Yeah, it's under a hat. Executive chef, Voodoo Vin, Travis Bradley Hayden. He has had an incredible journey from the music business to the chef world, and if you haven't sat across from me at the bar on a Saturday night, it is a real, real pleasure. So, Travis, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, we can all see here tonight that we are all brought together by community. You know,
I think a lot of us would not drive out across town or just down the street on a Monday night if it wasn't wanting to be a part of what we've built here in LA, the food. And you guys have done a really good job in the last few years building your community. How much of that goes into your idea of your business plan, and how much of it goes into what you hope to see with the people who come back again and again for business? And then how do you grow that community?
I think it's the cornerstone of even just being in hospitality. It's having a community is the most important part, and it's the most valuable part for me. I've worked now in two restaurants that are the first one, Rustic Canyon in Santa Monica, which is very much a community restaurant, and it's a testament to how valuable that is seeing it go through different iterations, different chefs, and still being a place to host the local community. And now at Vudevin, where I'm a chef in an open kitchen, I'm facing the guests that come in, I'm interacting with them on the daily, I'm getting to know them. Like some of our guests are here tonight. It's so valuable, and you realize what you're doing is you're providing a service for people, and you're a part of it. And you know, for me, it's just an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah.
For me, it was. That's the only reason I started doing this was because, like right when COVID started, it was how do I get people out of their houses to just at least understand that we can look at each other and be outside together. And I was just making pizzas for my friends and family just come through. And what was happening at my house, like everyone was seeing each other for the first time in months. And it was like all these people who we've worked together with or hung together with or worked in the scenes that we all worked in the same music nightlife scene. And so having this place where people did come together and saw each other for the first time, it was one of the first things that felt familiar in a long time. And over time, like where we are now, it's become like a responsibility at this point. Like just staying true to who we are and what we started with, and like bringing people into that circle has been the best.
You know, bringing people into that circle is really tough these days because people get trapped in their own little neighborhoods, and you got to convince them to get to their own neighborhoods. But you both use social media to your advantage. Travis, I'd say yours is like food and farmer's market, and Tommy, yours like food and then it's a little bit of sports, but also like fun and some skits and things like that. How did you land on the type of voice you wanted to use for social media, and how much do you find that really helping your business?
I mean, for me, it's not really good at developing that. So, I mean, the next best thing I could do is be authentic and be. I go to the farmers market every Wednesday and Saturday, and the things I'm posting on social media are the things that are really interesting to me. And some people might think it's boring to see a page Mandarin, but for me, like when they first come in, it's one of my favorite Mandarins. So I grab it and I post the photo, and then it's on the menu that day. So I think that helps, you know, when people are seeing what I'm doing at the market and thinking, hey, maybe we'll go see what this guy is doing with the Mandarin.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, for me, this has turned into my opportunity to tell these stories that if anyone who knows me knows that, like, that's, if you give me just an inch, I will give you a mile of a story. And this has been my opportunity to just show that side of myself. It doesn't need to make sense. A lot of times I've been told, like, well, you know, you maybe don't use that song or this. It's like, no, I am the guy who will go from listening to the Vanga Boys to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Like it's and it all ties into the bigger picture of just back to the, not so much, it is community, but like me just making this, me putting my heart on display and like welcoming people into what could be seen as chaos, but also like.
It makes sense if you know you.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How much of storytelling is a part of running a restaurant or a food business these days? Do you need it? Can you just open a spot? I mean, you see ghost kitchens, you see some corporate places opened up, and they do well, but being a smaller business, an independent business, how much is story a part of it?
I think for me it's a big part of it. I can't like say on the spectrum of all restaurants, but for me, I couldn't imagine that not being a component of it. You know, it's, you know, on social media or when people come in, you know, I love it when people ask me, like tell me about this dish. Like, how'd you arrive here? And going through that with them. I don't think everyone needs it, but maybe you see it. But it's something that's really important for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just who I am. It's with even with the three of us, like we have our story. Yeah. We have our story, but like we all have the three of us have each other, and there's everyone here I have some stupid story about or with that is like it would come off as unbelievable, but it's true. And that's like if you like have a moment, like I just think to your point about these ghost kitchens and about all these other brands that are keep popping up, it's very important to me to give that human touch of, again, being, whether it's vulnerable or honest or just like, oh yeah, like that cardboard cutout of me that sits in the front, that's whatever, that's that. Or that's my dog, that sandwich is named that from my dog, that this, or this is why I use this flour. Like everything to me is that human, like humanizing this experience that, I mean, every day is kind of taken away from us. Not to go too deep into it, I do. I think it's important to, like, during COVID, sitting on my porch, the most impactful thing for me was every day when people, every Friday when people would come and get a pizza from me, and they would see me physically.
Yeah.
And I get the chills talking about it still, because it was, we weren't having those moments of interconnectivity. It means a lot, and I think it still means a lot, because we all just sit on our phones in our circles and are fed literally through these apps and information, but also food, you know, to that matter. And so to just give people, let people be a part of that story is also very important.
You know, letting people be a part of the story is one of the things I think I saw coming out of COVID the most. And I'm not saying that pre-COVID it was sharp elbows, although it was at times in the wrestling industry, but I feel like afterwards there's definitely more of people supporting each other and everyone understanding how hard the business is. And you guys have been really big supporters of other chefs and businesses. What is your approach in working with other chefs in the community, and how much are you bringing them in and how much are you going out?
I love collaborating with other chefs, so whenever we get the opportunity to, and there's a lot behind the scenes too. Like, we could be doing things that aren't necessarily an event, but, you know, with my chef friends and peers, we're constantly sharing information. I have, like, just yesterday, one of my sous chefs at Rustic Canyon was like, hey, can I come over and borrow 2 quarts of whey? I'm like, sure. Yeah, come on over and give it to him.
Come over this way?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, stop. but yeah, we share information. We share tools, mixing bowls, like everything. I've only known it to be a very collaborative environment. I haven't known any chefs to be like gatekeepers of knowledge.
Sure.
Especially recipes. We share everything.
Yeah.
It's important.
I mean, one of the first things that I did as a... it's hard for me to call myself a chef, but
I'll call you a chef.
But one of the first things I did that we did was mm-hmm. A month into COVID was do our pop up on my porch to raise money for the workers of
Rustic Canyon. The undocumented workers that weren't getting unemployment.
Yeah, and I knew this Travis. And then this was my first time working with Travis, the chef, and I was nervous. I remember just being I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And then my dough wasn't right, but we did it, we made it happen, and it was beautiful. And then, but then moving on though, I am psychotically competitive, and athlete in me, I guess, but it's it has been so humbling and so fulfilling to work with other people and bring people, because that is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And the pizza community is unbelievable, what we all do together. And I just went to my first pizza expo, and the relationships that I built in two nights there it's really, really beautiful experience.
Yeah, you just alluded to this, but the Travis and the Travis today, and both of you a few years ago were not in the food industry. Travis, you were working in the music industry. Tommy, you were working in nightlife. But you both pivoted, and food is such a great second act, and we've had a lot of people on the show whose second acts. Polly G is a great example of someone who came into later life. For someone who's thinking about getting into the food business, either as just a hobby or really making a go at it, what advice would you give?
Just dive in, feet first, head first. Just get in it. Don't go to culinary school. Just go to your favorite restaurant.
They're hiring right now.
Yeah,
restaurants are hiring. Yeah.
Yeah. How I got into it, I just went to my favorite restaurant and knocked on the back door, and asked if I could work for free, and they're like, if you want to. And I just came back every day, and I fell in love with it. I didn't even know if that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to learn how to cook well, and that was it. And I just fell in love with it and kept going. And that was it. And that was free.
Yeah.
It was free. And then they even started paying me a little bit.
Wow.
Not much.
Enough. Enough.
Almost enough.
Almost enough.
It was going from what I was doing to I fell in love with pizza because it was just it slowed my life down from the chaos of nightlife and whatever else. And so to just make plans with somebody 48 hours in advance. But then there comes a time where it's fun and you're doing this, and if you really want to, if you want to go for it, you have to, you just have to believe in yourself. It's the hardest. I truly think taking a chance on yourself is one of the hardest things you can do. And if you surround yourself with people who you know, love, and are honest with you and trust you, but are believe in you, you can literally do anything.
Mm. I mean, believing yourself is, and then having people eat an extension of yourself is pretty tough.
It's
because people are mean.
Don't get me started.
Okay. That's for another time.
That's
for another comment. When people are walking up, Tommy, they saw you wearing one of your custom Lasorda's t-shirts, and I know that merch has always been a big thing of what you've done. What goes into your design? How do you come up with ideas? And if people want to get into making merch, what advice you would give?
Just do it.
Yeah.
I can't get sued for that, right?
But that's a good, is that yours?
It is. I just saw the Ben Affleck movie. The amount of things I have in a folder of merch stuff on my computer is just absurd. It's about just, again, really just making it. And but it's hard. It's when you're in the middle of the when you're doing your restaurant,
yeah,
the last thing you could ever think about is making a t-shirt. So if you actually get to do it, good on you. but I wish if I did
half of the stuff I wanted to do, but you just have to do it, I guess.
But it extends t-shirts because you do custom boxes and you actually make it part of the experience when you're buying the food.
Yeah. I mean, the box is the box is one of the greatest pieces of marketing material I've ever made in my life.
Explain what it is.
It was so specific. Somebody sent me, it's called Pizza Bib, and it's a box that you open it up and you cut out the neck and then you are this person in the box. So mine is like a assorted pizza jersey, but I took it like so many steps further. So there's all these like Randy Newman, I Love LA lyrics, like Easter eggs on the box. And then if you turn it over, it's a baseball base because in my head, I'm like, oh, people will go to buy four pizzas and go to a park and then they play stickball, which nobody's done since Brooklyn in 1962. But it's, it should be fun. Like a lot of people, it's so serious and like, I don't know, pizza is an everyday person's thing, and it should be fun, friends and family.
Yeah. Travis, every time I'm having wine or a bite at the bar, for those who've never been to Voodoo Van, it's a beautiful little jewel of a restaurant and with a great sound system that's really punching above its weight. How much is music a part of the experience there, and what can people expect to hear on the sound system?
It's a big part of the experience there. And it's been really fun for me, coming from music, I was playing my music and then working with younger front of house kids started making playlists and they're like, your music sucks.
I like your music.
Yeah, thanks. But it's been really fun. I didn't think I was going to be learning about music in the restaurant, which has been a really great discovery tool.
Do you pull out your Shazam on the line?
All the time.
Yeah, good.
All the time. But yeah, we put on music when we start prepping, and it's on until we turn the lights off.
It's so great to walk at any time and just be like, oh, that's good music, this is a good range. I've been lucky to go to Italy with both of you, and seeing that type of cuisine play such a strong influence in your food is obviously apparent tonight. But I feel like Italian food has had this renaissance and the staying power of the last few years. What is it about the cuisine? What do you love about it that makes it such a reoccurring character in your work?
I don't know. It's a lot of this food has been made for so long that it really works out the kinks over the past couple hundred years.
Couple thousand years. Yeah, right, yeah.
That you can go into it and put your own stamp on it. Which is what I'm doing. It's researching into the history of food and finding old ingredients or just old dishes and just putting my stamp on them and using ingredients from California that's hyper seasonal. I think Jeremiah Tower is a huge inspiration of mine.
Sure.
Yeah. He's a French chef, or he's American, or he's British, but he was making French food in California with Californian produce, and that was the birth of what we know as California cuisine. And so I look to that for inspiration, and there's so much great French and Italian food that's been done that you can really just use great products growing in the state, and it just sings.
Yeah. And for you?
For me, it's the simplicity, the minimal, just 3-4 ingredient stuff. When we were doing the pizza on the porch, it was, there was a point where we were supposed to be on a trip in Italy, and we couldn't go, boo-hoo. The last three times I'd gone to Italy, I would just either take a train or fly into Florence just to go to Alantico Vinaia. Vinaia? Is that pronounced? I don't know.
Yeah. We know what you're talking about.
But it was like so much of the stuff that experience of going to Italy and eating those foods and tasting the simplicity of it and then coming back, and I just don't know how like a more
a mortadella sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, like mortadella with pistachio and burrata turns into mortadella, bacon, ranch. That's what it turns into. So to just keep it simple and give people that with our like most popular sandwich is that it's just three ingredient mortadella sandwich, and people, it's been great actually.
It's an incredible sandwich. Before we go, I know you guys have done a lot and grown a lot in the last few years, but I know that you have plans for more things on the horizon. What are you working on, and what can people expect from you guys as chefs and entrepreneurs?
Voodoo's grown really strong, and it's just been such a fun year and a half that I've been there. I'm like really looking forward to this year and having my going through the second seasons and you know seeing things that maybe I forgot and that I wanted to work with different products. And then I have a pasta sauce company called Cali Bolo that is launching right now. And so yeah, that's it.
My sister just left our spot. We just took on our pizzeria full time, and it's been kind of an amazing, it's just a whole different experience to have the space to myself, to ourselves, and we signed a lease on our next spot, which I haven't really been public about, but we're gonna open our second spot in Chinatown.
Very nice.
It's right next to Cafe Triste. So very excited. I've been obsessed with Chinatown since I started this. I used to go with my grandpa to Philippe's before Dodger games, or like when I was sweeping up nails on construction sites with them, and it's like I don't know. I'm very, very excited. It's gonna be beer, wine, and I think it's gonna be hot dogs and pizza.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What type of dogs? Who said Chicago?
Not Chicago. Charles. Yeah. It's gonna be, you'll see. It's gonna be great. I'm very excited.
Awesome. Well, I wanna thank both you guys. If people wanna follow along with your adventures or come to the new spots or just coming for a bite, where can they go?
I think for me on Instagram, it's just Travis Bradley Hayden.
Nice.
And Lasordids on Instagram.
And Voodoovin as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Thank you everyone coming out. We have some dessert from Voodoovin. We have some more pizzas coming out. Once again, Chow Now, Sky Duster, Jumbo Time Wine. Thank you guys. Thank you guys.
We talk about food. About music with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, Snacky Tunes.
Snacky Tunes is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.